Let's pray. Father, thank you for the call of the kingdom. Thank you that it's something that by your grace you have blessed us all to hear, that you have helped us respond to the great call of the gospel, salvation in Jesus' name. It's amazing as we thought about it this morning that you, the great King of heaven, should ever love us, and yet you do. And it's so good of this glorious gospel, the salvation in Jesus' name that we have to believe in, that we have to speak to ourselves, that we want to grow fluent in, and that we want to share with other people as well. And we pray tonight, just in this practical session, that you'd just give us the energy for it. I guess we've had a busy day. Some of us are tired. Some of us have been getting rad tubes on the beach and doing all that sort of stuff, and it takes energy out of us. We've had big dinners. Please just give us that extra bit of focus to talk tonight, to be practical, and think things through together in community. So please just give us that ability tonight as we think through gospel fluency and listening, but also just sort of working through some of the stuff that we did this morning as well. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you think about it, this morning was kind of a very theory orientated session, really. And so tonight I thought, you know, being evening and everything, it's kind of nice to get a bit more practical. And we're going to do a bit of interactive stuff. There'll be an opportunity to ask some more questions and do a bit of group work. And hopefully just kind of reinforce, or start to reinforce anyway, the material that we looked at this morning. But before we did that, I just wanted to talk to you a bit in this kind of upfront way about probably the most important practical thing you can do when you want to speak good news to someone. And actually, it's got nothing to do with speaking at all, would you believe it? Rather, I want us to think about how important it is that we learn to listen well. How important it is that we learn to listen if we're ever going to speak the gospel to one another in a way that's truly good news. If you've got your blue books, we are on page, I don't know what actually, because I hadn't turned to it. Page 8. Thank you. Page 8, the importance of listening. That's what we're looking at, the importance of listening for gospel fluency. The great German, he's a theologian, he was a pastor, he was even a bit of a revolutionary, I guess, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's a bit of a hero of mine. He was writing in Germany under the Nazi occupation. In fact, he was a pastor in that context. And he eventually got put to death, actually, just not long before the war ended. But he knew a lot about Christian community. He even sort of worked in and was part of these underground German Christian communities that were sort of there while Nazism was sort of reigning on the surface. So they were in pretty hardcore situations together. But he writes this, and I just think this is a fantastic quote. I'll put it on your outlines there if you want to read along. He wrote, "The first service that one owes to others in the fellowship consists in listening to them. Just as love to God begins with listening to his word, so the beginning of love for others is learning to listen to them. Listening can be a greater service than speaking." There's a kind of listening, an impatient, inattentive listening that is only waiting for a chance to speak and thus get rid of the other person. Okay? That latter thing is not what we want to do, but it's the former thing, that the love of listening. And he's right, listening is very important. It's a very biblical thing too. Look at that James chapter 1 quote with me, James 1:19. It's on your outlines. "My brothers," writes James, "take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak." Or Proverbs 18 verse 13, back in Proverbs again. "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." Very, very, very important part of living the Christian life is listening. We've got to get listening right. And we've got to get it right. It's essential that we get it right if we ever want to be a community that is fluent in the gospel and doesn't leave people feeling judged and condemned. Got to learn to listen. If we want to be a safe place of comfort and of freedom and of grace, if we actually really want to help people grow from where they're at, then we've got to get good at listening. And I think there's two really big reasons why. I mean, there's probably lots of reasons why, but I just want to talk about two big ones tonight. The first reason is this. Listening actually demonstrates love for people. Listening communicates love. If you aren't good at listening, regardless of what you've got to say and how correct it is, the chances are you'll leave people feeling unloved. Bonhoeffer's right that love for others begins with listening to them. And it's funny, yeah, because this whole gospel fluency thing, the thing that we looked at this morning, learning to speak the gospel fluently to people, you can actually do it in a very cold, hard, mechanical kind of way. Okay? If you want to communicate with people in a meaningful way, then just raw fluency isn't enough. I don't know if anyone's Star Wars fans here. Star Wars fans? A few? Yeah? Actually, probably even if you're not really a Star Wars fan, you will have heard of C-3PO, the golden humanoid robot walks around. And he's, I am fluent in over 6 million forms of communication, he always says. But he's a robot, and the information that comes out of him, whilst it's incredibly accurate, and whilst he's incredibly fluent in those 6 million forms of communication, it just kind of comes out in a really mechanical, detached, cold kind of way. So, it'd be like, the mighty Jabba decrees that you will be cast into the pit of the all-powerful Sarlacc. In his belly, you will find a new definition of pain and suffering as you are slowly digested over 1,000 years. It just comes out like that. Utterly fluent, but that's just not the way you break it to someone that's going to die a slow death in the belly of an alien over 1,000 years. Someone says, I'm just really stressed about how I'm going to make ends meet this month, and I haven't got enough work on, and there are all these bills I owe. And you could come out in a C-3PO kind of way and just go, well, that's because you're not fundamentally believing in the first liberating truth that God is great so that you don't have to be in control. Why not repent now of your functional disbelief, re-embrace his sovereignty, and your anxiety will diminish? Now, I've overplayed that. But you know the kind of thing I mean? You ever had someone speak to you that way before? They just kind of want to fix you, sort you out. And before you've even finished speaking, you can see that they've already decided what the problem is and they just can't wait to spit it out and sort of fix you up. And when that happens to you, you just feel like people don't get you, that they don't understand, and like they don't actually really care even. And that's because listening is an act of love, just as Bonhoeffer says. Interestingly, often when someone first shares an issue with you, you're better off not trying to fix it at all. Often you're better off just sitting there in the problem with the person, showing them that you care about them and showing them that you kind of get it. It often comes up in male-female relationships and particularly in marriages because, generally speaking, this is all generalisation, but generally speaking, the wife might share a problem with the husband, and often the husband, typical males, just kind of want to fix it, get straight down to it, cold, hard, technical, rational, sort of empirical details, and just kind of want to get to the point and sort of sort it out. I don't know if you've ever, I won't make you put your hand up, it could get embarrassing, but you may have had that issue before in relationships. And I was reading some research the other day. It was a massive survey. It was done in the States. I think it was around 3,000 women consulted or something like that. And 95% of them, this was interesting, 95% of them said that when they share a problem with their husband and he offers a solution straight away, 95% of them said that even if it was a good solution, okay, even if it was a perfectly rational, sensible, right solution, 95% of them said it wouldn't fix their problem. Guys, you might find that hard to believe, but that's the statistics. 95% of them said that when they share a problem with their husbands and he offers a solution right away, 95% of them said that even if it was a good solution, it wouldn't solve the problem. And really what they're after is for their husbands to understand their feelings, to have understood and cared about them, know that their feelings are gotten by someone, that someone understands it, gets it, empathises with it. But, I think often men want this too, deep down, on reflection. Because deep down, when we're struggling, we all want someone to listen to our feelings and get them and have them heard and have them understood and cared about by someone that loves us. And the thing is that we can all empathise with one another because we're all fallen sinners living in a broken world. Yeah? You might not be able to relate exactly to someone's problem. That might not be an exact issue for you. But we all know what it's like to struggle with sin. We all know what it's like to be burnt by a broken world and the effects of the fall. And that means that every single one of us can sit there with another person for a while and share in the hurtfulness of it all, or the sinfulness of it all, or the problem of it all, and just kind of get it with the person. And I just think it'd be awesome if church was that place for us. Don't you reckon? Can you sort of see the vision there? Wouldn't that be amazing if church was actually that for people? The place that did that. Now, later on, they might need you to help them think it through and find out where it's gone wrong and do all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, it might even be that right down the track that you get to a point when you just need to call people on stuff and be firm. But that should only ever be done after lots and lots and lots of listening, because listening demonstrates love. It's the first act of love for somebody. So listening demonstrates love. The second reason that we've got to get good at listening is that listening just enables understanding when it comes down to it. And this is a bit of a no-brainer, really, but yeah, if you want to speak good news to someone in a way that actually fits with their individual issue, then you've just got to listen and probe and make sure you really understand what they're saying. It's just so easy, yeah, to think that you know what someone's problem is and to think that you get it, but everyone's really, really different. The gospel has great news for everybody, but we want to speak it to each other in a way that really connects with that exact person's at and what they're going through. And it's when you do that that the real freedom and the real joy and the real grace and the real liberation comes through. And it's the way that Jesus deals with people. We looked at it a bit the other week. Do you remember the other week when we were looking at Jesus dealing with the teacher of the law and the other disciple? And he deals with people as individuals, always. It's a startling thing about Jesus. It doesn't matter who they are. He always deals with them as individuals. Speaks directly into where they're at. Yeah, there just aren't set sausage machine sort of answers that you can kind of pull out of the bag and just fire at people. And again, it's often when we do that that people feel condemned and judged, because often people just don't fit with what works for everybody else. Yeah? Or they won't respond to my method or my way of solving stuff. Then the suggestion is that, well, there's something wrong with them, because my method and my way of solving stuff is always right. Yeah? So there must be something wrong with you if you don't get it. When the reality is maybe I just haven't listened well enough and I don't really get where they're coming from. So as we started this sort of practical session tonight and just sort of thinking through how we actually help people with gospel fluency, speaking good news to them, I think first and foremost, we have got to start with listening. It's just got to be the place that we begin, because it demonstrates love and it enables understanding. And if we can't love people and if we can't understand people, it's going to be exceptionally hard, in fact impossible, to speak the gospel fluently into their lives in a really meaningful way that helps them where they are at. Okay? I'll leave the upfront stuff there, but I just thought it was really important to bring all that up. In a minute, I'll explain what we're going to do in GCs, but I thought before we did that, did anyone have any other questions that they wanted to ask? Maybe from stuff that we talked about this morning or things that have kind of come up since? I just wanted to have another opportunity, I guess, to bring stuff up or give you a chance to ask stuff. Happy to leave it there. Yep, we can do more questions tomorrow as well if you like. And I mean, always come up and grab me or, afterwards over to you, and I'm very happy to talk more about it. Okay, the other thing that I thought we'd do tonight is just have a go. I thought we'd do this, as be a bit fun together, just to break up into our gospel communities and just have a go at learning how to take those four big truths that we looked at this morning and have a bit of a go at just identifying how they speak functionally into a few common situations that Christian people might find themselves dealing with, okay? Now, it's going to feel a little bit artificial, and obviously you wouldn't work it through necessarily the way that we're going to do it now with other people, but this is just starting to get a feel for, you know, how functionally people might disbelieve those four big truths, sort of spotting kind of where the lie about God might be or the misunderstanding. And so what I've done is I've taken a few scenarios and I've written them down. I'll do the movie disclaimer because these are fictional people here. Any similarity to real people is unintended, etc. In fact, in order to guarantee that too, I took them out of that Tim Chester book, just so you know that I'm not actually sort of inadvertently having a go at anybody. So, Kathy, when you read in that last scenario that Kathy's basically pretty nasty to everyone, not talking about you, you can rest assured. Some Kathy, yeah, somewhere else, doesn't matter. Yeah, but what I want you to do is just perhaps in your GCs, just to have a look at some of those. You might get through them all. You might just do one or two and decide that you want to have a coffee and go to bed. It doesn't matter. But just sort of have a look at some of those scenarios. Have a bit of a think about further questions you might ask for clarification. And then see if you can spot if there's some sort of functional lie at work there or what it might be. And it might not necessarily just be one. There might be lots of them at work. But seeing if you can work out which of the four big truths or truths, you know, that the person might not be believing functionally, and then have a bit of a think about how you might speak good news into that situation. Do people get what I'm kind of asking you to do? And you need any clarification with that? Yep. So there's a whole bunch of them there written on page 9. Yeah, there's Abdul, there's Colin, there's Kathy, Jamal. Have a bit of a think about it and just sort of see if you can start to have a bit of a go at working out what's at work behind the behaviour, what's at work behind the emotions, where might the lies about God be that are at work there, and then have a look through and see if you can find out which of the four liberating truths or, you know, more than one might be the good news for them.